We're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. Not for long. We're going to forego our study in Leviticus until after the first of the year. I want to look at really one passage this morning, and I'll talk about another. How Jesus reveals all of men's hearts, all the hearts of all the people in the world. And there's really only three categories. You know, like so many other scriptures, the danger of familiarity is that it blinds us. How can the scripture blind us? No, we're the ones who blind ourselves because we're already so familiar with it. And so that we can say, I know that. And certainly as we draw near Christmas, that's what happens. I say Matthew 2, and everybody says, oh, Magi. If I say Luke 2, birth of Christ. But Jesus is the divider. At the most basic level, he's the one, he divides the calendar, right? Jesus has divided all people in the world. People will talk about God. They don't have a problem with God. They have a problem with Jesus Christ. They don't have a problem with Muhammad, per se. It's a lot easier in our society to talk about Muhammad than it is Jesus, partially because people are afraid to say they don't want to talk about Muhammad. But people will talk about God. But when you talk about Jesus Christ, he divides the room. He divides the room right now. I realize that most of us in this room, we love him. But we're also some of us are also represented. And in one level, all of us, each of us, can be represented by one of the categories here. You know, you don't have to turn there. I mean, for extra credit, you can go there if you want. But in Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Christ, right, on the eighth day, Jesus is circumcised. And then on the 40th day, Joseph and Mary bring him to the temple, dedication. And as they do that, of course, you're probably familiar, there are two elderly saints there, Jewish people who love the Lord and been waiting. One in particular, a man named Simeon. His name means he listens, he hears. And Shimeon has been listening. The scripture says that he had heard God speak to him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Messiah. Think about that. He would not die until he had seen the Messiah. And so he came to the temple. We read that Joseph and Mary bring, you know, little baby Jesus in, and he runs over and he snatches him out of their arms. If that happened today, you'd look for security, right? Right? It was a different scene back then. But he praises the Lord. Lord, how you're letting your servant depart in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples. A light. Who is Jesus? He is a light to bring revelation to all the nations and to the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things. And then Shimeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against, get this, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Yes. Jesus reveals the thoughts of all the hearts of all the people in the world, not just in Chalfont, not just in Pennsylvania, United States, Israel, the entire world. You know, we come to Matthew chapter 2, and yes, it is about the Magi. And there are many things that you can say about the Magi. It's one of those private, fascinating things to me, which I won't go into all of that by any means because we just don't have the time for it today. But you know the story, but what do we read? We read that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, wise men, magi from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east. In other words, while we were in the east, in Persia. and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they, who they? The chief priests. The chief priests, the scribes, the guys who knew the word of God, like us. People who know the word of God. They knew exactly where Messiah would be born. Just like you know where he was born, they knew where he would be born because they had studied. They lived in that two-thirds of the Bible that some of us read and some don't. You know, we call it the Old Testament. Not old because it's antiquated, old because it's the first covenant that God made and we're living in the second. But the old informs the new. And so just as you and I know where he has been born, they knew where he would be born. And so they responded. They from Micah, we would say Micah chapter 5, verse 2. They said, in Bethlehem of Judea, because it's written by the prophet, you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you're not the least among all the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. It actually goes on to say, whose origins are from old, even from everlasting, from beyond the vanishing point, this Jesus. That's who he is, because he's God. And then Herod, when he'd secretly called the Magi, he determined from them what time the star had appeared. He wants to know how old he is. And so he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, go search carefully for the child, and when you've found him, bring back word to me so that I may come and worship him also. He's a scoundrel. He wants to kill him. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And they came into the house. They saw the young child with his mother Mary, and they fell down. These are men of power, men of authority, men of wealth, way beyond anything we can imagine in our culture, anything we can imagine that we've ever seen in the movies. These are men of power, of gravity, and they bowed down. They put their faces in the dirt in front of a two-year-old who probably hadn't been potty trained yet. You think about that. This is not a movie. This is real. They bowed down. They knew from the scriptures. These are Gentiles. They're not Jews. They were people who had followed what Daniel the prophet centuries earlier had taught their fathers and their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers. They bowed down. They worshiped him because they knew that this one would be the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, and who would bring in a kingdom that would never end. They bowed down, they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures. They presented gifts to him, gifts of gold, gifts of frankincense, gifts of myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they shouldn't return to Herod, they departed for their own country and they went another way. You know the story. We've all heard it before. Herod wants to kill him. Why does Herod want to kill him? Because he hates anything. He hates anyone who would intrude on his authority, anyone who would intrude on his power, anyone who would get in front of him. He's the one who's in charge. We say, well, yeah, that's Herod. You know, that's us many times. It was certainly me at one point in my life, and I'll bet it was many of us in this room at one point before you came to Christ. Say, no one's going to get in front of me. No one's going to tell me what to do, even after I said I was saved. The idea of giving him the throne of my life, like, you got to be kidding me. I may give lip service to someone who says I should, but I'm not doing that. You know what I'm talking about. See, if we're not careful, there's a Herod in each one of us. But the scribes and the chief priests, these guys really amaze me because they intrigue me because I can be like them. I've learned so much of the scripture, just like you've learned so much of the scripture. And we can get to a point where our love and fascination with the scripture has grown cold. We know chapter, verse, we know where to find it, we know what we're supposed to do about this and that, and we can tell someone else, do this, do that, don't do this. Just because we know where it's located and we know what it says, actually, it just made us more accountable before the Lord, because he's the one who says, so what about you then? Are you obeying it? We can know the scripture, but do we follow it? They knew the scripture, but why were they not excited? You think about this. These guys, chief priests and scribes, those shepherds out in the field 2 years earlier, they were shepherds who were watching over the flocks. They were the ones who were going to deliver those little lambs up to the temple for sacrifice. You think they didn't tell all of the priests, Messiah's been born. He was born. An angel appeared to us. The sky was lit up, and God told us. You think they didn't say anything? They, of course they did. Some of the people probably said, oh, the shepherds are drunk again. Really? Because that's the kind of people they were in those days. But they weren't all like that. No, the chief priests were above them. You can tell me Messiah's been born, but I know he's not been born, because if Messiah was born, God would have told me. Right? I know the scripture. He'd have told me. We feel the same way. How many of us pray for revival? You think revival's not happening around the world? Too often we don't see it in our own church. We don't see it in the churches in our area or even our own lives, because we don't think we need it. Now, there's different hearts here. There's one that wants to kill them. And there are those, really, in a sense, the most dangerous ones are the ones who are indifferent to them entirely. But these magi, as rich, as powerful, as knowledgeable as they are, they're the intriguing ones, because despite all of their wealth, that society would put them up on a pedestal. They come from that pedestal and put their noses in the dirt, and they worship this one. They're not worshiping a baby. They're worshiping the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. You know the story. You've probably heard about these three before. And so the question is, which one are you? It's not a sales pitch. Because there's a part in me, the old sales guy, John, who would have found a bridge between that and the conversation we just had about money. No, that's between you and God. But what we do with our lives, day by day, hour by hour, that's going to be determined by which one of these personalities you are. Do you just hate them and want nothing to do with them? There might be those in here. Are you indifferent to them, even though you're a Christian? Are you indifferent to what he wants to do with your life? There's a dangerous place, brother or sister. That's a dangerous place to be. Because God wants to do powerful things with your life. And you can think, I don't care. Look, I already know all this stuff, and besides, I'm saved. Yeah, but there's the judgment seat of Christ up ahead, where we are judged, not in terms of heaven or hell, but based upon what we allowed the Holy Spirit to do with our lives here in this life right now. The indifferent ones are the most dangerous ones. And then there are those, and may the Lord so see it, that that's every single one of us in this room. Wouldn't that be great? Who are willing to say, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of my life, and I give him my life.